are going to start a brand new study that's going to take us over the next 3 weeks, thereabouts. And the title of it is Final Destination. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, and I believe it's going to be an exciting time this morning, the subtopic is the path principle. So hold on to your seatbelts, and we want you to follow along. And next week, for God's sake, bring someone with you, because we are going to be sharing some information that is going to be very, very helpful to all of us, regardless of your station in life, whether you are 21, 41, or 91. So please, let's get on board. Proverbs chapter 7. And, you know, Solomon is one of, well, he's my favorite Old Testament character for several reasons. He is very, he was a very transparent guy in his disclosing some of the struggles in his own life. And he didn't hold anything back. Several weeks ago, we spoke from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, where Solomon again mentioned or highlights the fact that, you know, he had everything. He had power, he was king of Israel, he had fame, he had lots and lots of money. As a matter of fact, it says that history tells us that his wealth surpassed that of all of the nations that surrounded Israel at the time. Very, very popular. As a matter of fact, so popular until he had 700 wives, and that's a little town. 300 concubines. Some of you dream of having, he had. As money and fame and companions. And then he said, he found out that his life was completely empty. In this text this morning, now I believe that he was really writing about himself, but he, you know, was really, the way he presented it, you would think that he was observing somebody else, but, you know, the jury is still out. You can draw your conclusion. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning at verse 6. He says, "For the window of my house, I look through my," I'm reading from King James, let's go back now to the NIV, that's our house text. There we go. "At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice or the blinds. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She's unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the streets, now in the squares, at every corner she looks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, 'Today I fulfilled my vows. I have food from my fellowship offering at home, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deeply of love till the morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband," oh, she was married. "My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose, till an arrow pierced his liver, like a bird darting into the snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my son, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stay into her path. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are as a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Father, we pray that you would help us to draw some life lessons from this text today. And as we look at this series over the next few weeks, help us to keep open minds, attentive hearts, and Lord, give us the capacity to come to grips with exactly where we are and the path that we are on, so that we can really redirect our steps in the way that we ought to go. For we pray and ask these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Question for you. How many of you are not good with directions? Don't raise your hands, just kind of blink your eyes. I could see you. You know, some time ago, I was with a group of preachers. We flew to Los Angeles to attend a conference. And about five of us rented a car at the LAX airport and was supposed to drive for about 40 minutes to our destination. Now, in this vehicle, there was a GPS gadget, but you put five preachers in a little small environment like that. We ignored what that good lady on that GPS machine was saying to us. And if you've ever been to LAX, I mean, it's probably one of the busiest airports in the world. So as we exit the airport, I could barely hear someone saying, turn right, take a right turn at the next stop. And we were so engaged in our conversation that we ignore everything that good lady was saying. And so instead of turning right, we turned left, and we just kept going. Little did we know that we were heading in the opposite direction from our destination. And so a trip that should have taken 40 minutes lasted for an hour and 40 minutes. And so as someone who has been lost a lot, as a matter of fact, you know, I have sometimes little problems with staying focused. So in busy cities, if we are in the inner city in the U.S., for Lauderdale, Palm Beach, Orlando, I would do the driving on the expressway, the highway. But when we get into the city, guess who gets the wheel? And if you see me 99% of the times, if you see me in Fort Lauderdale in a car, my wife is at the wheel. Because I know my attention span, and then I'm not as good with direction as she is. And so I can tell you three things about getting lost. Firstly, people who are lost never get lost on purpose. Never get lost on purpose. You don't leave home in the morning saying, well, boy, listen, I intend to get lost before I get to work. We don't get lost on purpose. Secondly, you are lost before you know you're lost. And thirdly, you are never aware that you are getting lost. It dawns on you that you are. And one of the things I have concluded about life, you always end up where the road you are on takes you. you always end up where the road that you are on takes you. And so where you intended to end up is irrelevant. Totally irrelevant what your desire is or what you intended to do. It's totally irrelevant. You end up where the road you are on takes you. And sometimes, you know, we hear the saying, but this is not where I wanted to be. It doesn't help. The road that you were on, that's where. And so no matter how loud or often you say it, lost people are victims of what Pastor Andy Stanley called the principle of the path. You will always end up where the path you're on takes you. And so if you're on the wrong road, it doesn't matter what you believe. You could be as saved as the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter what your intentions are. You are in trouble if you are on the wrong road. You could be the son of Mr. So-and-so. If you are on the wrong road, it doesn't matter. You are in trouble. The path you choose, or the path we choose, impacts us more than our intentions or our motivations. And every single one of us in this room this morning, we are on a path of some kind. Every single one of us. You are on a path financially. And the road that you are on today financially is going to lead you to a destination. No two ways about that. You don't have to be a road scholar to figure this out. The road that you are on morally is going to take you to a destination. The road that you are on relationally is going to take you to a destination. The road that you are on spiritually is going to take you to a destination just as sure as Monday follows what day? Sunday. For you see, often there's a disconnect between where we want to end up and where the path we choose takes us. Example, I might have a desire to go to Old Bahama Bay. Now, Old Bahama Bay is where? West End. That's my desire. That's my intention. That's what I dream of. That's what I talk about. But I get on the Grand Bahama Highway and I start going east. My desire, my intention, my dream is to get to West End. But I'm on the Grand Bahama Highway heading, where do you think I'm going to end up? West End? But it was my desire to go there. It was my dream to get there. But if I get on the wrong road, it does not matter. The young man in our text, he ignored the principle of the path. He was going in a particular direction, on a particular path, according to Solomon. And on his way, he was distracted. He was really going to West End. That was his intention. He was on the right track. But he got right down here by the Hawksville Corner. Down here. And instead of taking a right to get on the Warren J. Lavarity Highway, he took a left toward Hawksville and took another left, heading in the opposite direction. And like, just as sure as we are here, we have an enemy that is always charming us with these distractions. And before you know it, this guy who had it all together got pulled into a situation that wrecked his life. And so, four things from this particular young man's life and the text this morning I want to bring to your attention as we begin this study. Firstly, we can conclude that direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. You will always end up where the path you're on, like I've said before, takes you. Decision, not intentions, not dreams, not plans, determines your final destination. And I want you to think soberly about that. Because sometimes we get to these destinations and we act surprised. How in God's heaven did I get down here? I didn't intend to be in West End, but you're on the Warren J. Lavardi Highway heading west. Decision, not intentions, not dreams, not plans, determine your destination. So here's the question. What are some of the decisions that you are making today? Those decisions are going to determine the path you choose and the destination that you ultimately, where you would end up. We choose a path or road based on, at least we should be, based on our desired destination. See, your desired destination. See, if you're not choosing a path, guess what we call it? Joyriding. You know, you just get in your car, you fill it with gas, and where are you going? Nowhere. Just meandering. Keep going around in circles. Sometimes in our world, in our own personal lives of behavior and habits and lifestyle, we lose sight of this. And often I hear people who wake up far from where they intended to be. You know, some folks, you hit 30 and 40 and 40 and 50, and then suddenly realize that their dreams aren't coming true. And they're shocked when they find themselves exactly where their feet took them. Direction determines destination. Even if you don't take notes, I want you to write that down. If you need a pencil, ask. Secondly, every path has a predetermined destination. Every path has a predetermined destination. All of us have been exposed to the news this week, and we hear these stories about, you know, the homicides in our country, and, you know, we're shocked and whatever, whatever. But we keep still going down the same path because we don't hear about any radical change of direction, and I mean all us. I'm pointing fingers at anybody. So every path has a predetermined destination. For example, the path of impurity has a destination. It feels good now to live loose, but you're going somewhere. And the issue is, and I'm asking the question, you think you're going to enjoy it when you get there? This young man in the story, Proverbs chapter 7. On his way to his destination, decided to be distracted and was a little surprised when he ended up where he ended up. And for some of our sisters not present here today, but they wonder why they get used in every, and every relationship ends up the same way. You get left with all the hurt, all the pain, and John Doe moves on. But we shouldn't be shocked. You know, someone says, and I've heard this from a fella, pulled up to the gas station and the brother, are you still with so-and-so? He mentioned the name of the lady. Yeah, man, we've been together for 13 and a half years. You ain't married her yet, man? Why? Why are you going to buy the cow when you could get the milk free? And I'm saying, but he's talking about somebody, sister, and daughter, and cousin. But the path of impurity has a destination. The path of greed has a destination. You can't live hoarding and hoarding and hoarding and hoarding to the point where you find it difficult to give something to Jesus. And some of us are that mean. And we are perplexed when in our challenging season, the springs are closed. The path of death, D-E-B-D, has a destination. Don't listen to these people telling you there's no down payment and you ain't got to pay nothing for 30 days, especially this time of the year. Interest free. Man, listen, you come to FBC. I hope you ain't believing that. It has a destination. The path of purity also has a destination. So every path has a predetermined destination. So it's incumbent upon us to do an inventory, especially as we approach this time of the year. What path have you been traveling on all of 2014? Why are you surprised that you are where you are? That's where the road has taken you. Every path has a destination. Thirdly, we must be aware of the temporary thrills on the wrong path. And sometimes we get distracted, you know. Because sometimes the wrong path, you know, you become so preoccupied with the thrills along the way that you forget the destination. And the thrills along the way, I'm going to mention a few, but in your own mind, you know, in your world, what those thrills are. For this young man, the thrill, for him, he was naive, he was inexperienced. He was just venturing away, trying to find his way. And the thrill was he met a charming young lady. He was so mesmerized that he didn't even ask anybody about her. Who is she? Does she go to FBC? Where she goes to church? He was so mesmerized that he, and you know what she promised? Listen, man, come with me. She didn't even give him time to think. Come with me. You've been traveling for a long time, and you look tired and weary and whatever. I could fix you up right now. Quick fixes. Immediate fix. And the world seek to do it to us every single time, and many of us allow it to happen. Why wait when you can get it now? Sometimes they promise us what I call a quick box. You know, you do it today and you get it today. Buy 3 pieces of, and you could get your money later. They didn't tell you that, listen, you could get addicted, you know, if you fool around with it. Quick box. We have so many junkies. Well, that's next week. I better not go there today. Like I mentioned before, sometimes that temporary thrill, especially for those of us that are addicted to JC Petty and whatever, 0% financing. She makes me feel special, or he makes me feel special. And that last clown I was with, he never even remember my birthday. But this guy, he opens the door for me, and he does this, and he buys gifts and flowers 6 days a week. On Sunday, I meet a branch when I get from church. Makes me feel very special. Well, you think you're special enough for him to put a ring on your finger? In addition to that, you know, he's rich. Got good money and child, we grow up poor. So there's the immediate fix becomes our temporary distraction as we move toward our destination. And chances are we become derailed. And then there's that emotional appeal. And like I said before, you know, we got plenty of sweet mouth believing in the church. Be aware of the temporary thrills along the path. Don't succumb to it. The consequences sometimes can be unbearable. It's better, my brothers and sisters, to suffer some short-term pain for long-term gain than to have it the other way around. You get a little temporary thrill, and then you live a lifetime of pain and frustration. Every path has a destination. Directions, the direction determine destination. Be aware of these temporary thrills along the way. And listen, there's so many traps. Solomon said, as I look out the window, I heard the conversation with this young man. We are not looking out of the window to hear it. We get it on our TV and our iPad and our every single day. we hear distracting messages. We are exposed to distracting things. And for some of us, we get derailed rather easily because we are always looking for a new thrill. But you got to be aware. And if it sounds too good to be true, then it ain't true. So if you're going to get to your desired destination, you're going to have to be aware. And finally this morning, if you are going to get to your desired destination, you're going to have to be able to appreciate the insight of others. Appreciate the insight of others. And you know what I find? We rob ourselves when we don't use the resources that God has placed right within the arena. You 25. You know how long I didn't pass that 25? But you don't think I could teach you anything about what it means to be 25? And ain't nothing new under the sun. The thrill of the enemy is he still uses the same old tactic. Absolutely nothing has changed. You think these new style that you all think new? Man, listen, we had that in the 70s. Growing afro again. Man, listen, I could bring you my afro photographs next week. Tight pants? Man, we had that. I see pictures of my daddy with. You know, in the religious. Because I heard people say, well, you know who really introduced praise and worship in the Bahamas and churches? It happened in the 80s. I'm saying, I grew up, my mother and them leading song service with the tambourine and the, what you call it, the cymbal and somebody scraping on the, you just changed the label, but the product is the same. You got to appreciate the insight of those that God has placed around you. If you're going to get to your destination, they have age and experience. And if you're a young person in here this morning, you don't have to make all the mistakes we made. Just sit down and listen. Appreciate the insight. And all of us, you know, regardless of where you are in life, you should have some kind of mentor. Somebody you could run to and say, well, man, listen, you have a script on this. What did you do when you were in similar circumstances when you were at your station in life where I am? Not only does other people may have age and experience, but they see our weaknesses and blind spots. And every single one of us, I don't mind how long you pray this morning. I don't mind how much you tarry yesterday in prayer meeting. Every single one of us, we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We have blind spots. We have some vulnerable areas. And it takes the people that are around you and close enough to you to simply say to you, that blind spot is going to keep you from getting to your destination. It impeded my progress for 10 years. I don't want the same thing to happen to you. And you know how we respond to that? You made your mistake. Give me room to make mine. That's stupid. I'm telling you that if you put your finger on that stove and it look red like that, you're going to end up with blisters. And let me tell you why. You see this scar here? That's how I got it. Oh, yeah? Well, that was your experience. How long ago that was? Man, stoves have changed these days. Fire don't burn anymore. And then we were, and I got a little blister. You get a third degree burn. And that is what happens. And you know, that's why I believe sometimes as parents, guardians, our tendency sometimes is to overreact. We react to where our kids are headed. We react to where they are headed because of the experience we have. And not where they are. And so, if we are going to get to our final desired destination, this is not complicated, folks. We got to acknowledge some things. Direction determines destination. What road are you on? What's the name of the highway? Stop long enough to do the assessment, to read the signs. If it's Old Bahama Bay West End, look for the Warren J. Lavarity Highway. When you get to the corner, look for the sign that tells you turn right. You turn left, you're going to be meandering up in Hepburn Town and up there, road that leads to nowhere. Your direction is going to determine your destination. And remember, every single path has a predetermined destination. The destination just does not appear after you decide to go there. It's there. Come to grips with the fact that there are going to be thrills or distractions that's going to feel good and taste good and look good. But my challenge to you today is don't stop. Don't look. Samson made that foolish mistake. And you know what it cost him. The young man in our text made that foolish mistake. And it cost him his future and his life. Be aware of the thrills. Appreciate the insight of those that God has placed around you. And if you do the following, is going to get you on the path to your destination. Now, we're going to tell you a little bit more about this next week, but we want you to begin to think differently and to do a thorough assessment of your life. See, showing up here every Sunday morning, just singing and feeling good, is not what this is about. Man, this is supposed to be life transforming. This is about change. This is about us getting it right. It was just about the thrill. Listen, I grew up on the other side of the track. Don't let nobody fool you. I could have you jumping from the chandelier. She said, no, Pastor, you look too conservative. Don't fool yourself. Okay, I could strike up a tune here and listen, put on the shuffle. And have you all cheer it, and you give me a mic and I could put my mouth on. I could do that. But the challenges of life, they are too important. Your future and your destination is too important to me and to the God that loves you for us to play around with this. And you know what I have found out about life? Because I'm not the smartest kid on the block. But here's what I found out about life. You only get one shot at it. And you don't want to get to the end and determine, but this is not where I wanted to be. This is not what I wanted my final destination to look like. Well, that's going to be it. You're not going to rewind the tape and say, well, let's go at it again. That's not life. That's the movie. That's Hollywood. This is it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, let's take it seriously. Let's open our hearts to what the Lord would want to say to us and through us. And so, as our team comes to kind of lead us in this closing number,